You want to look inside your bulletin and find an insert that would help us, help you go through the message with me. This is something that I haven't done very often, but I've had some affirmation for this, and maybe it's good for you to be able to stay and follow this message as we're moving forward. And there are some blanks to be filled in. I'll help you with that. And then there's some other things that might be interesting, too, that I'll share with you. You might want to note down. You'll have a blank side on the back of that sheet that you'll be able to take further notes. So feel free to do that. Take these home and then do your own research. I put some Bible verses at the top that you might be able to open up and even find other Bible verses that would be just as helpful. We've got ushers that are going to be passing these out. Apparently, I forgot. We didn't get them in the bulletin. So if you do, well, maybe, yes, we did. Okay. Anybody need a bulletin that has an insert that you can take out and share in the notes with me? In fact, if you already have it filled out, you're welcome to come up and preach. You want to do a tag team today? No? Oh, shoot. Anybody else? One last call. Since this is Labor Day Sunday, we wanted to take a break from the series that we've been on and then the upcoming series that we're going to begin next Sunday morning and talk a little bit about the importance of rest. Did a little research to find that sleep is a pretty good thing. I don't know if any of you are missing it, but if you haven't tried it yet, you might want to give it a shot. Sleep really is good. I loved sleeping. I went and had a sleep study done, and this has been several years ago, and the people who were coordinating and observing my sleep patterns wrote a comment down for the doctor that his body really likes to sleep. So sleep is one of my favorite things. I don't get the patterns that I always wish I had, but I always seem to come up with enough, but that's good. But I also want to talk a little bit about what's going on in our culture here in America about the importance of rest. And if you think about some of the things that you're doing, the hard work that you're putting in, this is why Labor Day has been set aside, is to just bring some highlight to the fact that the labor force in our country needs a break, needs another holiday. We need some time to relax. And what we do with that usually is we work at home. So I just want to just help you bear in mind the idea of rest and give you some of the information that I've gotten that helps us look at this a little bit more seriously. In fact, what I found was that 85% of American males and 67% of American working females put in more than 40 hours work a week. And in fact, that is a whole lot more than most countries, most cultures that are industrial countries. And as the research I was reading bears, the American workers log more hours per week than any industrialized nation in the world. And this is on an average of one person, and I'll give you these numbers, one person over a year's time. We average about 137, that's pretty specific, 137 hours more than the second country of work ethic, Japan. That's one person averaging 137 hours more a year than the next country in line in terms of the number of hours people work, Japan. To put this in perspective, it's 260 hours per person per year more than Britain. And to go a little bit further, it's almost 500 hours more per person per year than France. So in our country, there is a great demand for us to step up. In fact, since 1950, the production of one person working in the workforce in our country has increased by 400%. 400%. And why is that? And our initial instinct is to say, well, there's more people working, but that's not the statistic. The statistic says that for every person working, we are working 400% more than we did in 1950. There's a lot of reasons why we want to go to work, and primarily in our culture today, because jobs seem to have been come and go over the period of time. The older we get, the more we feel like we're going to be obsolete, so we want to hang on to our job the best we can. And we're afraid we're going to lose it. We see things like our jobs being exported into other countries, and it bothers us. We find ourselves worrying about not having enough, and yet we have perhaps more than we need, and maybe we don't need to work so much. That's things to contemplate, but the idea of an American culture that we have this thing about work that is, there's much more in the study than what I've covered with you today, more about things where governments in other countries allow for federal time off or federal exercise of time off. Well, we have that schedule in some states in our country, but not on a federal basis, not in the national government that has been issued. These are demanded times off, where other countries do have that in terms of paid time with sick leave and also vacation. We live in a country that demands more of us, and we want to be part of the working force. We have more women in the workforce than ever before, and doing more things than what women were doing in terms of their classic roles today than ever before. We enjoy getting out of the house and making a contribution to our civic lives and to the lives of those around us. We have a country that demonstrates that. When you look back over the years of our country, we have poured in hours and hours and even given up life just to make roads go from one coast to the other, or railroads, or finding resources deep within the ground for building, or structuring dams so that we can have electricity, and go on and on and on, and all the different things that our country has done over the last 250 years. It's been amazing to see that that's all been done by human force, human workforce. And the ingenuity that comes behind that. We like to engage our minds. We like to engage our muscles, and God has given us both of those things. Sleep, I mentioned before, is so important, and yet we work so hard, we are sleeping less. Did you know that? We're working harder, and we're sleeping less. In fact, here's some things that we need to be more aware of. That the more work we have, the more stress and the lower quality of life we'll experience. And the greater the stress, the more opportunity we have for disease, heart disease, overworked minds. I wouldn't be surprised, and this is not based on any study, to find out that dementia and Alzheimer's are a result of some very heavy thinking and demands upon our minds to do things right, to get it right, to be a perfectionist. There are a lot of things that's been demanded of our physical bodies, which are a gift from God, and we need to take care of them. So rest is critical. In fact, people need 7 to 9 hours of sleep each night. Now, that varies from age group according to sleep disorder studies that have been presented. In fact, I'm looking at statistics from one that was given in 2016. 6 hours or less sleep makes us less productive, increases odds of diabetes, increases odds of heart disease, and increases the odds we have for stroke. 6 or less hours, no matter what your age. It's also known that, and the importance of rest, that the person who gets less than 6 hours of sleep would be like a person who had gotten no sleep at all. Our production level decreases that rapidly. I was just reading this morning before we came into church about the particular study that I just mentioned, and it indicated that there was this particular research was done with a group of 48 adults, and they gave assignments for these adults to sleep segmented times. Like one particular group would sleep 4 hours, another group would sleep 6 to 8 hours, another group would sleep up to 9 or 10 hours. And then there was one particular subject who didn't sleep at all for 3 days. And I have always heard that sleep deprivation is like being inebriated. We just don't have our faculties together. Well, this study concluded after having interviewed the one who got 6 hours or less sleep down to 4 was as minimized as the person who got 0 sleep. So it's important for us to understand that in our human nature, in our bodies, as they've been put together, we need to come to terms about the rest we need. We need to find a place and a time to do it, and we need to find the right way to gain rest. I put a picture up that you're looking at right now that is a picture I found online, but it's taken from my idea in my mind. There's a few sheep you can see in the background, maybe if you got good eyes. And you have a large body or stream of water that's running through this plush grass and growth that you see around it. This is my image when I read Psalm 23. And in fact, when I Googled image, I Googled serene images. And this one popped up along with many others. But I thought, this is ideal. And when we take a look at how God designs human beings and that He made us out of His own image and that He put us together to do work, but also gave us a command to rest. Genesis chapter 2, verse 3, you see the cited passage there in your note. This verse talks about how important it is for us to know that God rested and then He promoted the Sabbath rest. There is a Sabbath rest for the land. There is a Sabbath rest for a generation of 50 years, or after the 49th year, there is a Sabbath rest. God has labeled rest for all things, but more importantly, His people who are going to be busy about His work. He's given us this idea that rest is important. In fact, if we experience rest, it's because in God's eyes, as His leadership in our life has become more important to us, we find that respect for God in the proverb that I put down, Proverbs 19:23, respect for God leads to peace. Respect for God alone leads us to peace. And I don't think that's any mistake when David then writes Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green meadows." I love that. There it is. Makes me lie down in green meadows. Like a sheep who is comfortable. You get to relax. And this, I mean, talk about heaven for a sheep. All the lush grass that's there and the refreshing waters. "He leadeth me beside the still waters." The refreshing, clean waters that God provides. That's how David saw God, and his peace with God is captivated in that particular psalm. God wanted us to experience a time of rest. He wanted us to labor, but He also wants us to rest in that labor. And so when you take the word rest, you see it printed there in your notes, that rest means to relax. It means to pause or take a breath. Or to be at ease. So you don't have to sleep necessarily to get rest. But combined with good sleep and momentary rest throughout the day, we should live as healthy people. That is, if we're eating right and we have healthy emotional diets and with the people around us, we have good relationships. All those things matter to God. But He wants us to have peace and in rest with Him. So let's tackle this first question as we look at the next slide, and that is, how do we, or what does rest really look like? Well, I want to take you to the passage of Scripture that was listed there on the front screen, the first screen that you had in front of you. Chapter 11 of Matthew, and go to verse 28 with me. And Jesus is speaking here, and He says to the disciples and those around Him, "Come to Me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Come to Me, and I will give you rest." I want to just stop there for a moment, because when we take a look at what God has done in terms of providing us the those necessary hours in one day, and the necessary hours for sleep where there's darkness, and the necessary hours for us to participate in replenishing our body with food and gathering around us our loved ones and being a part of a systematic day where it enables us, our bodies and our minds to work, and yet our souls to be filled and our hearts to be warmed and our bodies to be at rest. Think of that. That's all includes. That's a holistic picture of what God wants His people to be like. And we can't have one of those alone and be healthy. We can't have all of them but one and be totally healthy. We have to have them all. So rest looks like this. Rest looks like focus. And that, in other words, that would be like saying realigning our hearts to God's plan and His purpose. So that means it's understanding who God is in our life, that there is one who's greater than I, and there's one who's designed me, and He's put me together in such a way that I have a heart and a soul and a body and a mind, and He wants me to keep them healthy. So focusing on our relationship with God, and that His plan depends upon our healthiness, our health. He wants us to have strong minds, strong bodies, deep hearts, loving experiences. He wants us to have the warmth and the care of a home and protection of shelter. He wants us to have good sleep. And He's provided darkness for much of the day for that. You know, if you go down into the middle of the earth, around the equator, there's equal time daylight as there is darkness. And for the Jewish culture, when darkness came upon the earth, the new day has started. A day always ended with sundown for the Jewish culture. For us, when the sun goes down, other things happen. Now, we don't need 12 hours of sleep, but what we do need is to take advantage of a broad spectrum of time where we're going to squeeze in what we do need. And this isn't a medical message for you this morning. This is about, and we're going to get to the heart of this a little bit further. I think you're following along with me already anyway to know that we are children of God and He's put us on the earth for a purpose. So realigning with Him, making sure our relationship with God is right so that we can have a great focus. That's what rest looks like. Focusing on what's real. There's also, in terms of meditation, it's about getting used to God's voice. Now, the secular world has used meditation, that particular word, in a way that, you know, it takes away, I think, from our own spiritual identity with God. But meditation with God is about closing things down and giving God time in our life. Now, the way that I like to do that is reading Scripture, because in Scripture we are told that it is God-breathed, it is the voice of God, it is the life of God that's coming out in truth in the printed Word. So as I read through Scripture and understand the stories of how God has worked in other people's lives, or I listen to the teachings of Jesus, or I listen to what has been the influence upon the hearts of other writers in the New Testament, I think, here God has given me insight into His characteristics and what He's like. So my meditation is about being one with God when I'm reading His Word and I'm understanding what He's trying to say to me. And if I have questions, He's going to help me work that out. But listening to the Word is like hearing His voice. It's getting used to it. And so when I go away from God's Word for the course of a day and I start reading other things, I can make better discernment about what I am reading now and how it lines up with God's truth. So that's like hearing God's voice say, "John, you know that can't be right, because that's not what I said." You get what I'm saying? So our meditation is about getting used to God's way, His voice, His interest in our life. And we do that by meditation and going into Scripture And then the idea of community gives us a spectrum where we can celebrate life with the people we love. So how do you rest? If you take in these things, if you focus on it is God who is in charge of my life and He's got a plan and purpose for me, and I know that God is whispering truth in my ear because I know the truth, I've studied the truth, I avail myself to God's instruction. These things are important to me and I want to gather people around me, then we've rested. You may do that tomorrow. Get a good night's rest and wake up tomorrow and you're having family over for Labor Day. In fact, you may have enticed them with something that you're doing, grilling out so that they can help you with a job around the house. We had friends like that in Crawfordsville who got all of us friends together. They invited us. First time they did this, they invited us, hey, come over to our house. We're going to have pizza tonight. We were like, yeah. So we went over to their house and we had pizza for about 15 minutes and they put us to work. That wasn't very fair. So if you're going to do that to people, tell them up front that you're going to do it. And then don't buy the pizza until they all show up because nobody may come. So now that we know what does rest look like for a person who's living in a spiritual realm, people who are living for God, this is what it looks like. Let's take a look at the other aspect you have there in your notes, and that is how we know real rest. How do you know real rest? I'm going to take you to Matthew chapter 11 once again. I'm going to read that passage to you, and I'm going to read it all the way through to the end, and then we're going to go back and sort this out and fill in the blanks for these three words. Jesus said, "Come to me, all who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." Just resting on that particular passage of Scripture, I want to just bring something else to light. If you look at Matthew chapter 23, verse 4, you find a very interesting passage. And if I can get it pulled up here. And Jesus has already talked about the comparison, what He can do in terms of what the world does. The world's going to put some heavy burdens on you. He says, I can give you rest from that. He even goes so far in Matthew chapter 23, verse 4, as to say this about the particular religious leaders of the day. Jesus said to the crowds and to His disciples, "The teachers of religious law and the Pharisees are the official interpreters of the law of Moses. So practice and obey what they tell you, but don't follow their example." They're getting it wrong. There's a lot of truth in that even today, where people are, they know the truth, but you might want to listen to the truth more than you see the actions in their life. That's very valid yet even today. But the religious order had gotten caught up in their own idea of what it meant to come to God religiously. And He says, beware of that. So He said, so practice and obey whatever they tell you, but don't follow their example, for they don't practice what they teach. They crush people with unbearable religious demands and never lift a finger to ease the burden. Stark contrast, isn't it, to what Jesus had just said about Himself? God doesn't want you to live with the burden of what it means to carry around the weight of guilt of your own sin. He doesn't want you to bear the responsibility alone of this. And while we may be the one who has destroyed our own life, it is God who says, but I want to help you with that. We may have gotten caught up in something and God says, I want to help you. I want to take the burden off of you. I want to give you my burden, which is very light, because if you hook up with me, we'll have a relationship that will enable peace and rest. So, first order of business is to come. Come to Jesus. So what does real rest look like? If you're looking for a place to find that rest that God has ordained from the very beginning of time, What does it look like? Well, he's offered us one who could take the burden away. Jesus. Come to Jesus. Just humble yourselves in the presence of God and say, He is the one who's standing at my door and He's asking for me to take hold of peace that I haven't found. He's asking for me to listen to His voice. He's asking for me to take Him by the hand and let Him guide me. Well, this idea of coming to God is hearing this passage once again. Come to me, all who are weary, heavy laden, heavy burden, and you'll find rest in me. Secondly, as you fill in those blanks, take Jesus' yoke. And the yoke of Christ is a connecting point to God's journey. This yoke, if we could go back to the original analogy of what Jesus was describing there, it's a yoke of oxen, a team of oxen that are connected by a huge wooden structure that's bearing on the necks of the beast of burden. And they're hooked together by that yoke so that two can be better than one. So the energy of two beasts of burden can pull and do and make the job easier for the other. So the idea is good that what one ox could do, two could do a lot easier together. We can get that idea. We understand that analogy. So when Jesus says, take my yoke, it is a personal yoke. It's a combined source of energy that God says, I want to give you from myself. I want you to link up to me in your life. And it's not the hard, wooden, one-size-fits-all yoke that the oxen had to bear, where often would rub into their skin and take away their fur and damage them in the process of pulling heavy loads. Jesus was giving us a very personal invitation for you, and this yoke is designed, custom-made for you. In fact, when Jesus says, take my yoke upon you, there is the Greek involved in the Greek verbiage there that says, your custom-made help has now been given to you. You have no reason to take the burden on yourself. It is one that I'm going to give you as a sense of rest. Take a look again in this passage of Scripture. Take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. What burden does Jesus give us? To follow Him, to trust in Him, to surrender to Him. And following Him is about being like Him. My burden is light. Psalm 103, 13 through 14 tells us something about what God knows about us. He knows that we are special in every way, each one of us. We may be different from each other, so God wants us to know that His care for us is going to be unique, because in this passage it says, the Lord is like a father to His children, tender and compassionate to those who fear Him, for He knows how weak we are. And in the NIV it says, He knows our frame. He knows our frame. And He knows how we struggle with it. He remembers that we are only dust. This body is going to wear down. This body is going to wear down. Our souls are eternal, but this body is not going to last forever. And God knows that. And He's got a plan for us. And this plan includes His Son's sacrifice for us to be able to enjoy peace and rest with Him. So we can come to Jesus, accept Him humbly. We can take the yoke of Christ that's going to help us through life. This is real rest. And we can learn from Jesus. And I love the fact that He used those very words. Learn from me. He says, because I'm gentle. I'm humble. Learn from me. If we wrap our identity up in Christ, then real rest finds its own course. God will do something with that. We know this because God has been teaching us that Christ is the one. Jesus says, I'm going to teach you because in my humbleness and my gentleness, you will find rest for your souls. From the very beginning of life, your bodies have been growing. Your parents made sure you had naps. Or if they didn't, you fell asleep at some point during the day. We had children that knew when it was nap time and just bang, they were out. We had kids that also knew when it was nighttime, and wow, no matter where you were, they were going to go to bed, they were going to sleep. Their bodies knew it. They knew it. God had put them together like that. And as a younger person, we know that they require a whole lot more sleep as they're growing up. Their bodies are getting used to all the activity and that sort of thing. When you're getting older, your bodies have to adjust. And as we grow older and stronger, we often, our minds won't let us rest. I remember laying awake in the middle of the night, many nights, as I was coming to Mount Pleasant as a young pastor and thinking about, This is my first church out of seminary. This is an opportunity for me, and my mind just goes crazy and what I can do and what the folks will be happy to do and what we'll be able to, how we'll be able to energize one another for good ministry. And I'm just going crazy with all kinds of ideas, and I would lay awake thinking about those things. Because the energy level in our bodies and the excitement level changes as we get older, and then when we get that age where we start slowing down, our bodies need less sleep because our bodies are resting more throughout the day. That's theoretical. What I'm asking for us to do is we recognize Jesus says, let me teach you. He has done the full course of saying, come and follow me. I've got a plan for your life. He said, I'm going to make you fishers of men. Come, follow me. Here's the plan. And don't do this alone. I'm with you. There won't be a time in this age that you'll be without me. I'll be there with you. I'm going to help you with the burden. I'm going to take the sting out of death. I'm going to take the burden of life, what it imposes on you right now, whether it's financial, whether it's relational, whether it's physical. I'm going to take that away from you to a point. Because face it, folks, we just can't let go of everything. That's a realistic picture. So when Jesus offers his yoke to lighten the load, we need to take it. We need it. And we need it rather immediate. When we regard Jesus' teachings above all else, we find that rest in Him did not come without a price for God. When we realize that He has emptied His life for us, that He has sacrificed Himself, that He has given in this mission in human form when He didn't have to, when He was sitting at the throne of the next in God's presence before He became flesh and blood, He didn't have to do this. And yet He was inspired by the love He has for mankind. He loves us. And if you have ever said this as a parent, you look at your children and you see they're going through struggles, you would love to be able to put your brain in their heads. You'd love to be able to take their place in the struggles that they're facing. You'd love to be able to pull them out and make decisions for them because you hurt for them. And that's what God, that's how He looks at us. It's the same vein of love that He looks at us as children. He hurts for us. Don't do it alone. Find Christ. Come to Him. Learn from Him. Grow with Him. Allow Him into your life. Father, I pray today that You would help us to get beyond ourselves, to understand the value of what it means to relax, have some time of ease. Help us to use our minds correctly, that we don't empty our bodies without filling it with rest and food and spiritual nutrition. That we fill our souls and minds the same as we do our bodies. That we understand that we can actually be like Christ and go to sleep in a boat that's being tossed around by storms. Because we know who is in charge. Now we pray, God, that you would awaken us to a moment of decision to do something about the lack of peace we have in our life. I invite you to be part of it. We want you to help us. I pray that decisions would be made right now for that to take place. In Christ's name, amen. Let's stand. And as we do, let's sing this final song. And I'll be up here if you need me. If you have a journey of faith that you haven't started but you know you need to, I'm going to invite you to come and let me talk to you about that. If you're not comfortable coming forward, then we have a Next Steps table, as was mentioned in our announcements, that you're welcome to visit, and they can walk you through that there. If you are wandering around without a church home to serve God, then Mount Pleasant may be the place for you. You can come forward, and I'll talk to you about that, and we'll get your plan in place here at Mount Pleasant as a servant. And I want to publicly thank the Johnsons for coming in that particular regard, for Dee and Starla for making their life part of Mount Pleasant last Sunday morning as they visited our Next Steps table. And congratulations for that. Thank you so very much. And may God bless those of you who are deciding about that moment right now. Let's link arm in arm and hook up in the yoke of God, that He'll take care of us going forward. Let's sing.
The storm surrounding me, let it break. At your name, still, call the sea to still, the rage in me to still, every wave. At your name, Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, breathe, call these bones to live, and call these lungs to see once again. I will pray.